My name is Lee Adam, and I'm the Product Marketing Manager here at Cardata. In 2024, I'm coming out with a new podcast, particularly for field team enablement. So what does that mean? There are a lot of industries who primarily focus on driving for work. Field sales people, field service technicians, clinicians, a lot of people who spend the majority of their day on the road for work. And it takes a wide range of cross-functional leaders to help enable them to get the job done. A podcast like this will focus primarily on ensuring they have the appropriate tools to succeed on the road. Vehicle programming is a major piece of how field teams operate. So the way in which they're able to drive for work, the tools that they're given, whether they're provided a company vehicle, if it's leased, if it's owned, whether they're provided mileage payment or simply a flat allowance. This is all in vehicle program strategy. So how they're actually enabled to get on the road and drive. Selecting that program can be a little bit challenging. Sometimes teams simply select programs based on access. They think, well, other teams do it this way, we'll do it this way. However, selecting vehicle program is often a lot more strategic than many organizations think. Selecting your vehicle program really takes into account a lot of different factors. For example, industry standards. So what are your peers doing? Might also take into account market conditions. What tools do you have access to? In addition to the fact that we like to look at what standards look like with regards to market pay and really what the activities of real drivers on the road are. If they're high mileage drivers, low mileage drivers, are they managers, are they new entrants? These all are factors that ultimately help us to make decisions about how to build our programs. The most common factors that impact a lot of vehicle program operation and selection best practices are often rooted in things like company culture, driver-specific roles, and seniority and tiers, right? A lot of the times, vehicle programs are often seen as something that's strictly needed to operate, right? They're not necessarily viewed as a strategic point of, compensation planning or benefits planning, for example. They're often kind of seen as something that is required to get the job done. A lot of the time that impacts the structure in which these programs are built. On the other hand, depending on the program itself, often we look at the role required, right? So some jobs require driving on the road every single day. When you drive on the road every single day, your needs, what you require from your company to get the job done, is often a lot more robust than somebody who's simply jumping in their car to run an errand for work. That often has a major impact on how companies decide to empower their people to drive. The other piece, ultimately, is often seniority, right? A lot of companies decide that they want to have vehicle benefits deeply entrenched in how they are able to retain talent, keep people satisfied by saying, hey, look, not only are we providing you with the tools to get the job done, but here's a little extra, right? To make you feel like you're being provided not only, of course, the tools to hit your targets, for example, but also to see real value in your employer and get a little bit more. So those decisions are sometimes taken into account internally, but also sometimes forgotten about as key ways to drive value through a vehicle program. Cardata is the fully managed vehicle reimbursement partner. Typically what that means is we do everything between designing the vehicle program, providing the tools to essentially capture mileage and to view business intelligence about how the program is going, and then ultimately going farther to actually pay drivers, check insurance, and ensure that the program is running smoothly. So from the design aspect, you have the vehicle reimbursement strategy. Ultimately, no two programs are the same. Every vehicle reimbursement program and vehicle program in general is gonna be different because it has to take into account what the company really wants to accomplish, what their needs are as well. What do their drivers do for work, and how do we want that to be reflected in their reimbursement program? Once that's been strategically designed, the work doesn't stop there. We continually check in with our CSMs, our customer success managers, and our in-house support team to make sure that the program is running smoothly and accomplishing the goals that our partner wants to accomplish. Once the design element is complete and the program is up and running, The capture tools involve the mileage tracking application, insurance verification, business intelligence tools, reporting for managers to really look at their program and use it to help steer and ensure that the company can grow, make sure that SLAs are being hit, ensure productivity, and also look at things like route planning and other ways to apply that data. And then the last step, of course, payment. We also directly pay drivers based on their reimbursement model to make sure that they're receiving their reimbursement as quick as possible to help them essentially be enabled to drive for work in the most effective and fully managed way possible. In today's climate, a lot of organizations are evaluating whether or not the traditional company-owned or company-leased fleet model is right for them. Of course, in the last couple years, particularly since 2020, there's been a lot of supply chain challenges. Procurement is very difficult. Gas prices are fluctuating significantly. Not only that, it's extremely costly to own a vehicle and to ultimately own the liability associated with that for a large fleet of drivers. Organizations are thinking about ways to stop unnecessary bleeding, to keep costs tight, to streamline operations, and make sure that their teams have the appropriate tools, but they're also looking at their bottom line and thinking, okay, is this required? Are there ways that we can continue to offer, you know, the same benefit, but in a way that keeps us whole and also stops us from essentially overspending in certain areas? So that's leading a lot of leaders, or industries rather, who are, you know, commonly using these company-owned fleets, for example, you know, beverage distributors, consumer packaged goods organizations, med device, pharma. A lot of these industries are now looking at alternative personal vehicle models as a way to still accomplish this, but also really reduce a lot of that burden that's on them. Fleet transitions can often be scary. People are afraid. A lot of decision makers, managers internally, are scared to make the switch. They don't want their people to feel like there's something really being taken away from them. They want their people to continuously feel whole and that they're receiving competitive benefits from their employer. So often they don't make the change because they're too scared of what that's going to do to the organization. And that's fair. Often fleets have a major cultural element where organizations are simply scared of the unknown. Change is scary. However, the best thing about personal vehicle models, particularly for high mileage drivers, is that we have tools that we can use to actually strategically build programs, for example, using a favor or fixed and variable rate approach that allow us to leverage market data and reimburse, hopefully tax-free, in a way that effectively covers exactly what your employees need, is going to reimburse them fairly based on their real business use, based on their real mileage, and make sure that we're effectively, consistently checking market standards, checking fuel prices, and reimbursing them using that data. For a lot of organizations, fleet transition simply starts by asking, well, what do you want to accomplish, right? Like, really, what do you want your people to take away? If it's limited burden, if it's equal, benefit of take home, then we can sit down together and decipher, you know, how do we build that? What type of vehicle does that look like? How do we base the reimbursement to effectively get them in that same position? There's ultimately also other, you know, strategic ways that we can tier this in. We often hear about phased-in approaches for fleet, where you might start with a group of drivers based on their role type. You might start with a group of drivers simply because there's a turnover period for their vehicles, or just start with new hires. It is a cultural shift, but ultimately it's all about picking a partner that's gonna support you through the shift, that's gonna make you feel confident in not only the tools that they have to provide to your drivers to make their lives easier, but also is gonna make your drivers really confident in understanding why this is happening, how it's a benefit, and how the rates are calculated to ultimately keep them whole and keep them enabled to drive for work in the fairest possible way. So partnership selection is going to be really key. So if you are an organization that is already using a vehicle reimbursement partner, whether you're running a favor program today or a cents per mile program, or you're simply facilitating a flat allowance, but you're using a couple mileage tracking tools, the transition is actually easier than you might think. A lot of the time, it's as easy as getting your drivers trained on new software. However, we also have to ask ourselves, you know, is there a need to dive in and strategically edit your program? If you haven't benchmarked your program in a while, meaning you haven't gone to market, haven't looked at other alternatives, or haven't actually sat down and thought, do my drivers need this? Is this parallel to standards? Then it might be time to do that. If in your evaluation you find a partner that's better able to accomplish these goals, then it's also probably worth sitting down and evaluating whether your actual reimbursements are what they need to be. Do you need to build your reimbursement program off of a different model? Do you need to tier it differently? If your people are consistently falling out of compliance and seeing tax, is there ways that you can mitigate that? Ultimately, evaluating a new partner or bringing a new partner into your organization is a really great way of taking a more strategic approach to reorganizing your vehicle program as a whole. They'll bring a new perspective and allow you to make change where needed by getting a fresh pair of eyes on your program. So a vehicle reimbursement program is essentially the way that a lot of employers get money into their people's pockets for driving for work, particularly in a personal car. So examples might include a cents per mile pay, where you're giving the IRS standard rate for every single mile incurred for business use. Other examples are things like a flat allowance. But for high mileage drivers, the most common approach for vehicle reimbursement that's often considered the most fair is a favor program, or a fixed and variable rate reimbursement program. Mileage pay, or per mileage reimbursement, is really easy. So a lot of people decide to do that. They think, okay, I can pay every couple cents per mile. The IRS comes out with a rate every year that's updated based on market data. And they say, look, hands clean, simple. It's often tax-free, especially if you choose at or below the IRS standard rate. So a lot of organizations will choose this because it's simply easy to facilitate. And it's not too complex. You trust the market data that the IRS gives you. However, this is really often best suited for casual drivers, meaning people who might hop in their car once in a while to run an errand for work, visit a client once in a while, but predominantly focus on other initiatives in office, for example. Why? Well, the IRS standard rate is a really wonderful average of the cost of driving across the United States. That is updated every year. But it's easy to understand that the cost of driving isn't necessarily going to be the same in downtown New York as it is in California or Wisconsin or other areas around the United States. Because of that, it's really challenging to understand whether or not that rate is going to be fair for all drivers. Now, if you take the IRS standard rate for 2023, for example, 65.5 cents, you look at that and you compare it to somebody driving 2,000 miles per year. Okay, maybe it's around $1,000, a little over $1,000 they'll take home per year. That could be fair, sure, for some drivers. Others, if they're on the road taking little trips every day to visit accounts because it's required for their job, that might not cover the cost of their insurance. Whereas for high mileage drivers, let's just say road warriors, driving 50,000 miles per year, at 65.5 cents, that's just over $30,000 that they're taking home for reimbursement every year. It's very overinflated. Maybe some people's costs are that. I doubt it. Perhaps, right? And it's up for organizations to decide whether or not the IRS standard rate is best suited for them and best suited for their drivers. There are better alternatives out there that really balance over and under payment. Favor, for example, is often best suited for these road warriors, so to speak. Another really common personal vehicle program that we see is a flat allowance. Very easy, right? The HR department or payroll might just kind of send out a $600 per month for a driver to cover their basic driving expenses. Sometimes it's linked to compensation, other times it's a different benefit, it might come in a different check. I digress, flat amount. Now, this is also quite easy, right? You can arbitrarily pick an amount. You're not really sure how much people are driving, but you're saying, hey, look, you have this job position, you have this job title or seniority, here's a flat amount as a benefit. However, the biggest challenges here is number one, this money is taxable. Despite the fact that it's being used to drive for work, there is no element of mileage being captured or being used to essentially validate or act as the receipt for that payment. Because of that, 30% of that payment is leaving your driver's pockets every single time because of income tax, because of their FICA contributions. That's even before we talk about employer FICA contributions. That's in total over 38% loss on every single allowance payment. Doesn't need to happen. Now, apart from the tax and apart from taking money out of your driver's pockets by using and issuing a flat allowance, there's also the fact that often these flat allowances are not based on market data. They're often not updated. The average flat allowance a couple years ago back in 2020 was actually pretty much the same as it is today. Despite inflation, despite market challenges, despite challenges with talent, it stayed very, very stagnant. But the cost of driving hasn't. It hasn't stayed stagnant. And because of that, this often makes it very challenging for people receiving a flat allowance to actually get the full value that they need out of their reimbursement. There's better ways to do it. Vehicle programs, particularly when we're looking at designing IRS compliant vehicle programs for a personal vehicle model, they're so dynamic because they're so data driven, right? There are so many tools that exist out there. Market reimbursement databases, for example, through car data, mileage tracking elements, business intelligence. There are so many tools out there that we can use to effectively design programs to best achieve outcomes. There is never a one-size-fits-all approach. Never. And often these programs are a mix of both science and art. It's about understanding, you know, what is important to your people, what's important to leadership. You know, how much do you want to reimburse for people and how much do they need to be reimbursed based on the data, based on the science, based on the cost of driving? And you find the balance and how to effectively get there, understanding the tools that we have, the IRS compliant programs that we have, and build that effectively to accomplish those outcomes. That's why an effective partner is so important, right? We need to balance the science and the art to effectively build vehicle reimbursement programs that best suit your people and your organization. So in this new podcast, we're going to be talking about all of these topics, particularly. Driving for work is not casual for a lot of people. They're on the road every day. These people are often managed by HR, managed by finance. There's an operational component, maybe a sales component. But all these people really have to come together and ensure that their field teams are enabled to drive for work in a really strategic way that accelerates growth. So this podcast is going to dive right into that topic, and it'll be available where you get your podcasts in 2024.